different viewpoints and ideas and brainstorming. So we really did that during work week in June. A lot of prep happened for our all-year program to start on the 29th of June. So we went through every second of the day from arrival to dismissal. And we did it together. And we literally walked through the day. Where are they going to put their paper? Where are they going to put their slippers? Where, you know, everything we broke down. By doing that, it was a definite team effort. We even got to the point of
just put it in your cup holder.
They
cup
all.
They
all.
If you need Kathleen, could you okay, please put yourself on mute so we can hear Kathleen? Because we can hear background noises.
So being with EEC, we are licensed by EEC. All staff members got a copy of the regulations. As I went through writing the plan, they got the different drafts to make comment on. They were part of that process. Then in terms of disinfecting, for example, Robin, you did say you might have to readjust. We definitely did. We started off with a series of disinfecting protocols and, you know, which product on which item. We started with Force of Nature, but that has a 10-minute wait time. And we found that that was ruining, it was taking off the numbers of the 100 board. It was ruining some of the materials. So we have now switched to BioEsque. And BioEsque has a 1 to 2 minute wait time. What I did do, because it is evolving, is every product, including bleach, has a technical assistance on how to use it, when to use it, where to use it. I made a cover sheet for the staff. I printed from the internet each of the, you know, technical assistants from the company, and I had them all read it and they had to sign off on it just so everyone knew. My goal for that was so nobody was looking over their shoulder asking, what do I do now? So they were really, really practiced on what to do. Another thing we did is before our all-year program started, you know, we would take a material out and say, okay, show me how you're going to disinfect this. Are you going to disinfect this? How are you going to wash hands first? Are you going to disinfect it after? So we went through lots of things. We have a whole system for that that seems to be working out. They adjusted it on the class level. I think for as an administrator, I go in and observe just like I normally would observe, and I only more. And for example, one group that was our doing our summer camp program, the teacher, and we're so ingrained in what we do. She was giving a lesson, but was holding a paintbrush, showing the child, but then went to another child with the same paintbrush and handed the child the paintbrush. So it was handled by three different people, two kids, the teacher. And I said, did you wash your hands in between? No, you did not. And it was just sort of an awareness of, okay, what are we really doing? Okay, oh, so everyone should have their own paintbrush. Or, oh, I need to, in between lessons, make sure I wash my hands or use hand sanitizer. That is going to take practice. And I'm not coming down on anyone, but I'm really just trying to bring an awareness of how to do something differently. So we are really really just working together. And as Robin said, we are meeting often. So how did the day go? What needs to be changed? And over the past week, this is our fifth week, things have changed and evolved. And so we need to just be really flexible in terms of teacher nervousness. It is really important for me that people are very comfortable. In the past few weeks, a lot of teacher nervousness in social media has risen to the top. So I'm just staying lots of communication with anyone who is not here. Mostly everyone is here working in one regard or another, whether we're making kits or whether they're doing research for the curriculum for the year. We are doing some classroom moving to allow for more space. So people are on campus, lots of conversations are happening, but I'm making sure that every week as social media gets heightened, that everyone is comfortable and okay coming back. And everyone is very eager to come back. I even had one teacher who went out of state to Indiana, came back, and she said, you know what, I am so glad I live in Massachusetts. I think under the guidelines of EEC, teachers are feeling very confident, very, very confident.
There's some questions coming up. I'm sorry, Kathleen.
Yep, I just saw those.
Shall I go through them when you've finished?
I can answer the teacher and children wearing masks. So I will say, and I've had multiple conversations with parents, I'm having mandatory meetings and no one is allowed on campus without attending a mandatory meeting. All teachers are wearing masks. I have purchased shields. I have purchased the window masks. The teachers are using the shields for language lessons, stories, things like that, but they are wearing masks. Children are wearing masks. I have a two niners who are wearing masks all day. The trick to that is it has to be comfortable. It has to fit properly. From a sensory perspective, it needs to be fit. And what happens is it becomes invisible. We are also asking all of our parents to do plain, solid colored masks because, again, I want it to be indistinguishable. It shouldn't be a big thing. And so the children have been practicing before they come. Outdoors, they can take it off. They can pull it down. I don't want to get lanyards for the little ones. I think that's a safety issue. But we do have hooks for their water bottles outside so they can take it off. We are looking into binky clips because that's not going to be too long. But for the most part, even the little ones are just pulling it down so it's under their chin when they're running or on the balance beam. We do have several outdoor classrooms and they leave it on just because they're so used to it. In terms of testing teachers and students, I'm honing in on if you've traveled outside of Massachusetts, and now Rhode Island is not counted, by the way, as of today, in the states, that you don't have to be tested. We're really honing in on that. Can we control it? No. But as of now, we are not requiring people other than those that have traveled to get tested.
The issue with testing is that you could test negative one day, 2 days later, you could be positive. And so the feedback I've also had from healthcare consultants is they're more concerned about symptoms because there are many false positives or false negatives even. It's the symptoms that we have to be observant of. And if you see a couple of symptoms, then you would need to know the cause of that. And that's when probably you would ask a family to do a test.
Yeah, but I think there's also a push for people who are asymptomatic to have regular testing. It's just not widely available in our area to do that.
And there's also a cost. There's a cost impact. And there's also the question to consider. So if you've asked an individual to be tested, our policy is going to be you may not return to school until we have the result of the test.
Right.
So, you know, you could be excluding everybody for a long period of time, depending on the length of time it takes to get results. So in our school, we're not mandating anyone get tested until we start to see health issues that are red flags for us. It's certainly not going to be a requirement to come back to school for families or for staff that we're all tested. You know, if we had a case of illness in the school, that might be something, again, that we would reconsider. That we have to do in order to make everyone feel comfortable to come back. So that's something we would think about, definitely. Somebody posted a question about 3 to 6 feet distance inside the school. We're going to be working within that 6 feet, within 6 feet, if we possibly can. We do have a toddler class. It's not going to be possible to keep all the little 6 feet away from us. So we are then going to be extra vigilant with masks and hand washing and face shields as needed, the scrub tops that I mentioned. But you also have to do what's developmentally appropriate for your grouping as well. So, you know, we are not police officers. We are in an education environment and a caring environment. So I think if you present to the children that we're keeping everyone safe and healthy, and this year, this is what we're doing, the children will be receptive and will adapt to that. It's our impression of what the environment looks like that will affect what their impression of the environment is. So if we go in confident saying, you know what, before you sit next to me, you just need to go wash your hands. And now, you know, you want to sit next to me, but you can only sit next to me. See where that circle is? That's where you sit. And if it's done in a matter-of-fact way and non-judgmental, then the children will, this is their new ground rules for the classroom and for the school. So you have to, I think what Kathleen said is correct. You have to kind of walk through a whole process of choosing a work. You know, do you ask to wash hands? Do they sanitize their hands after? Do they wash their hands when they've finished? You know, if you have a shield or some sort of shield on the floor or on the table, you know, at what point, how do they signal to you that that needs cleaning before someone else sits there? So you have to walk through each scenario. There's so many. I mean, we can't write every scenario down. There's too many. But you have to, as Kathleen said, I think practice in the classrooms and in school to see what it would feel like. Practice the arrival, Caroline, if you haven't done it yet. You know, get the teachers to do a practice, see how it feels, how long is it going to take, what did we have to change?
So we are doing self-screening before they come, and we are using, so that when they come, all I am doing is asking the parents, has anything changed? And I'm doing a visual check on the children. I'm not doing, and the parent gets the child out of the car. I'm no longer unbuckling. And it will be admin staff, myself, my office assistant, because the teachers cannot be cross-contaminated by other classroom children. So even though we're outside and it's probably not a big deal, the only people doing car line are going to be non-teaching staff.
So how, I'm sorry to interrupt. So how, so if you don't unbuckle, how close Correct. Are you to the parents or to the caregiver to bringing the child out of the car though?
I am standing at the gate.
And they then walk the child to the school door?
No, we have a car line and we have a gate. So they'll come into our drive. I mean, it's every school's going to be different. So I greet them at the gate. And, you know, the little ones I might have to help. So far, we haven't had criers. You know, it's not their first day. These are all returning children, except two who are siblings. So we haven't had a lot of crying. So we haven't come up to that yet. But the parents have to, which is new, that usually we get them out of the car, yeah, unbuckled. The parents are unbuckling. We're also staggering car line. And you know, some people follow it, some people don't. But you know, we're trying really hard to say, you know, please be patient. This car line is going to take a little longer. You know, practice with your child, things like that.
with regards to temperature taking, what we are planning to do is if we, from a visual screen, feel a child may look not well, we could choose to take a temperature actually in the car line.
But they say that that's really not accurate, excuse me, because especially in the warm weather, the surface temperature is good. That's why we usually don't take temperatures inside in the car. Children come
into school as well. And we could also, you could also consider having a double temperature check. Because I can imagine that a family will say, well, they were fine this morning. And I don't think they have a temperature. So we are trying to build in a double check. So we twice to show that, yes, this person does have a temperature. They may not when they left home, but they probably do now. It's not something we're going to do every day. It's only if we have a suspicion that maybe the child isn't that well.
Yeah. So we're monitoring the child throughout the day, even though they have to attest in written and sign the form that they have not given their child medication. We all know it's going to be out of their system by 11 or 12. So we have two contactless thermometers that we will use.
Yeah, that's something that's not too difficult to source. You know, if each classroom has one too, then you can check through your school day as well. We have a separate space for isolating anyone who is sick. And that would be kind of in my space. So I would be with that individual. So the teacher could then be with the other group. So have a space that you could access that you can dismiss a child from to the person who's coming to collect and that you can then clean as appropriate. We also, Kathleen mentioned all the cleaning products. I'm writing down, it sounds very simple, but the difference between cleaning, sanitizing, and disinfecting. And, you know, what products do you use on what items in the classroom? And when do you use the products? Because in the heat of the moment, when you're in the middle of a busy day, you just want to have a reference sheet. So that would be something that would be useful to have in the classrooms as to this product is used for the sink and leave it on for X minutes, then wipe off, or do you air dry? Then there's also needs to be a separate process for playground toys that you might have outside too. And then, you know, not just thinking of children, you have to think of the spaces that your staff are going to be in. Do you have staff bathrooms? Do you have a break room, a staff kitchen? Are you going to work in mask breaks for your staff? You know, staff are going to spend a lot of the day wearing a mask. They're going to need to step away for a little bit. You know, how comfortable do they feel doing it in the classroom? Do they actually need to leave the building? That then kicks in issues with ratios. You need to know where your staff are and have a process where it's okay to step away. Be agreed, everyone has to know where everyone else is. And those are things that you'll have to figure out on those prep days, whenever they may be, unless you've already done it, Kathleen.
So our teachers are taking mask breaks. The kids are taking mask breaks. If they can be 6 feet apart, they can take their mask down.
But that's an area where, as a school, you could choose to be stricter, though, than the requirements. You could be in the same space together. When you're all together in the winter, you might decide that you would feel more comfortable taking your mask off away from the group. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. I think, my role I see as head of school, if it's going to make a member of staff or myself feel better, we will be stricter than we need to be. It doesn't just have to be the minimum. You can choose to leave the classroom if you're able. And you know, it's worked into the schedule. I mean, I think that would be an area where to be more careful would not be a bad thing. And our children in our school, we're not mandating that they wear masks. We are just going to be very strict about entry into school, about pre-screening before they come into school. And we're going to be working very hard on hand hygiene and cleaning in the classrooms. For us, the idea of monitoring a child who's going to wear a mask and bring several spare masks on top of the other cleaning that's going to be going on in the classroom, and we decided that that's probably going to be too much. Again, we may review and change. It's optional. The parents may send a child with a mask if they wish, if they feel confident that the child can manage the mask, dispose of it as needed, can switch out if it's dirty, and is going to treat it appropriately. But we may change. I have spoken to parents about it and asked what they think, and they are comfortable if as long as we screen people carefully coming in, and they understand that we're going to be asking the children to wash their hands a lot. Anyone have any other questions? I'm just looking at screening. Part of the attestation health form is that you have to ask a family if they've given their child fever reducing medication. And this is where this whole issue of trust comes in and communication with parents. We're trusting them to follow our requirements and our guidelines. And they sign something before they come to school to say, I've read the health policy. I understand the requirements that you have for my child to come to school, and I agree to abide by them. And they have to sign that. And then certain things are out of our control. You know, we have to say, this is what we expect you to do. You all have to wear a mask in the car line. No non-essential adults are coming into the school. And we'll follow our requirements from our end too. We'll wash our hands, we'll be cleaning. And then really you have to go with trust too, that your families are sending their most precious things to you, to us, to take care of. We have families that are sending all their children to us. We have all their children in school. You know, they're trusting us to take care of them as best as we are able. And so my trust in them is that they are also going to be doing what they need to do because we have their children. And then review it. You know, if a family you feel is not following the requirements, then again, that's the difficult conversation that head of school has to have. You know, I noticed that, you know, Jane's school with the children today and she wasn't wearing a mask in the car line. It's a requirement that they wear a mask in the car line. I mean, I think there's going to be no wiggle room as far as following these requirements for us or for them. And also I think something that Conrad mentioned in one of the previous discussions was that, you know, we can't relax around the requirements either. You can't think, great, we're doing so well. It's 2 weeks in, we're doing good. Everything's clean, no one's sick. You have to assume that it's still a potential. This risk is still there. You have to keep following the requirements and keep reminding each other too. Just like the children do with ground rules in the classroom. These are our new ground rules. Any other questions for anyone? Withdrawals. Have anyone noticed an increase in withdrawals over the last couple of weeks with school sort of times approaching? I think the reality of school, I think, is that families are being concerned and they see what's in the media, and also they are looking at the public school health situation and the public school concerns. I've had many conversations with families saying we're not a public school. You know, we don't have that size community. We are much more in control of our environment. But they hear a lot of the public school K-12 concerns, and it kind of spills over onto us. So that's definitely an issue. And I've had many, many calls from parents who want their kindergarten children to come to us because they don't want to be remote. And some of the discussions I've had is that, you know, your child hasn't got any experience of Montessori at all. I don't know if I can guarantee that by the end of just 1 year with us that they'll be ready for first grade, because I don't know anything about their history or anything about where they are. So I've had difficult conversations. I would love to take on some more children, but I don't want to mislead the family into thinking we can provide what the child needs just because they want to avoid remote learning. So those have been difficult discussions from my perspective. I'm trying to say, I think you need at least 2 years in our environment. And that's tough financially to say that. But I think, again, you need to be open and honest with families that speak to you, existing ones and potential new families too. Somebody mentioned that they weren't accepting any new children. We are accepting new children. And I talk through the entire health and safety requirements with them. I also take them on a virtual tour of the classroom and say, this is what it will look like. And I explain the different areas. I explain, you know, the desks, the tables being separate. I show them the things like the shields. So I do literally walk them through it and say, this is what it will be like. I am not taking anybody in person around the school at the moment and have no plans to do so. We also won't be doing an in-person orientation for families and children. Normally we have a couple of, we have visiting morning and then they pop in for, that we're not going to be doing that. It's going to be a virtual Zoom visit that the parents have to attend. And we're going to talk through the fine details of classroom life, arrival, what you bring to school, and that's going to be it. So we're also being very strict about who comes into our school building.
We're going to allow new kids to schedule a time during work week, the week before school starts, so that the child can at least see their teacher. Meet their teacher. Usually we do it all together. We do what we call a walkthrough, but we're not going to do that with everyone. I have the victory sprayer that I put the bioesque in. So my plan is to, in between kids, just disinfect with the victory sprayer and allow time in between. So we don't have that many new kids coming because we have to keep to that 10 in a grouping situation, which is really hindering us, but that I think it's good for the kids to see their teacher before they come. So that's how we're managing it.
There was a question somebody asked about going completely virtual. We've had a couple of families ask, will we do remote learning, as the public schools seem to be discussing, and we've said no, we will not start like that. We are a small school. We don't have upper school. We end at K. So we won't be starting with remote learning if we're not allowed to. And we also will have a decision to make if we are closed, mandated to close by the state, whether we offer remote learning to the group. We are giving parents the option this year to opt out. For many families who have very small children, our toddler group, for example, it's not appropriate for them to learn remotely and on the computer with us. So that's going to be a hard decision that we would have to make if we are expected to close for an extended period of time. Our school calendar, we've explained, is going to be flexible this year. We can find some time if we have to close for several weeks, but more than maybe 3 or 4 weeks, we'd have to seriously consider, you know, what our plan is moving forward. To be fair to us as staff and to keep us healthy, and to be fair to families too. So those are decisions that, you know, we may have to face. And again, we'd all have to discuss it when we get to that point. What does bioesque smell like, Kathy? Does it smell of anything?
It sort of has a lemongrass smell. It is a botanical. And the reason that we use that over the electrolyzed salt water and vinegar, which is what Force of Nature is Force of Nature takes 10 minutes and it has a set time of 10 minutes. So we have found that that's starting to ruin our wooden materials.
That's to disinfect though, isn't it? That's not
to disinfect, right. Yes, if you're looking for a disinfectant solution that, Bioesque only takes a minute for COVID. And all of those, and I see someone put the link. You can read about it.
You can use
it, but it's a choice. It's a personal choice. So what we were doing the first, and this is where things have evolved. So when kids were doing a work, so children have their own work table or on the floor. Each child has their own mat, their own pencil box of individual supplies. And it rotates every day. But they know that that's kind of their spot. All right, so past that, when they would go and get a work and bring it to their table, finish it, it goes to a disinfecting shelf. We had to have a 10-minute sand timer when the teachers would use the Force of Nature. Well, as you can imagine, the first week of school, things were piling up on that disinfecting shelf. And it was getting, because children who are coming in the first week, they're like, whoa, I want to get back to my work. And everything needed to be disinfected. the BioESC only takes a minute. So that's why we changed. We also changed from that disinfecting table to a red card system. It's just a red card that we put on big materials like long rods. So the first week, kids were piling red rods and pink tower, and it was a mess. And it was taking away that I'm taking my workout, I'm going to do it, and put it away. So the red card system means, okay, if the red card is near the pink tower or the long rods, that means I have to wait until the teacher takes that card away, which means they're disinfecting. And that has worked beautifully. They all got a lesson about it. It's just like anything else, giving a lesson on what to do.
These are things that you're going to have to figure out what works best for your classrooms and for your school. It is going to be different for everybody too. And also depending on how many members of staff you have in your classroom, you might have 2 members of staff to 10, you might have 1 to 10. It's going to be different, and it's not bad that it's different from other schools. That's the other thing. I think we all fall into the trap of comparing, and oh, X is doing that. Oh my goodness, I should be doing that. But you can take in the comments, but you have to do what is right for your school. All the schools are different. The groupings are different. The size is different. You know, your setup is different. As long as you have to follow the requirements. But it's going to look different from school to school.
Absolutely.
And if you're regulated by the EEC, it may look different depending on who your licensor is. Some licensors are super, super strict. My licensor told me I'm not allowed to go into the classrooms. I can stand at the door, she said, or I can very carefully observe every now and again. But she doesn't want me going from class to class. And she said, I don't want to see you in the classrooms. So it really depends on your licensor as well. And then overlaid on top of that, you have to be cognizant of the fact that you're responsible for the health and welfare of your staff and the children in your school. So you also have to do what's required within the spirit of your license requirements as well. So that's a lot to consider. Any other questions? Somebody asked, what about tuition options if people have for virtual learning? We haven't come up at our school with an actual plan or numbers, but I'm anticipating if people opt out, we would have to do some form of tuition rebate. If they want to do remote learning, it's possible that there would be slightly reduced tuition on that. It really depends on how many families want to participate in the remote learning plan and what they want and what we can offer. So, I haven't gone into every scenario potential because there's so many. And I've said to families, we will discuss it at that point, but I've given them the brief outline of what we would consider. But I haven't given percentages or anything like that. And we're quite small as well, so I don't have the challenges with an upper school and with lots of children that may be able to manage a remote learning program better than our younger children might. Does anyone have any other questions? We're at 8:45. No? Well, I wish everyone all the best for back to school. I think it's important that you continue talking to each other and supporting each other, and know that everyone has the same concerns, and we're all committed to making it work for us all and for the children, and keeping us all healthy and safe as much as we are able. So, have a good rest of the day, and good luck with school.
Thank you.